The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You took a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, 15 topers and toadettes, and welcome back. It is Monday, July 16th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. I am so glad to be here, and better yet, I'm glad you're all wearing clothing. We'll talk more about that in hour two, but before we get to that, let's introduce our friends right here in the studio. Sitting to my right, we've got Wiz Khalico hanging out here on camera too.
How you doing? Aloha. Doing quite well. The clothes are on. It's not quite hot enough to have them off today, but maybe in the last week.
The Russ Belville Show is not clothing optional. Let's
certainly
keep that
not clear.
We've also got Ganja John doing the engineering duties today. How you doing,
What's
John?
What's up, Russ?
I'm doing good. Hey, I understand that you're getting older soon.
Yes. But before I get older, my mother got older today. Happy birthday, Ganja Mom.
Oh, happy birthday to Ganja Mom. Oh, that's so sweet. So your mom's birthday and your birthday are real close, huh?
Yeah, and my brother's birthday is on the same day as mine.
So did that ever, like, when you're getting presents as a kid, kind of screw you over?
No, it didn't screw up the presents as much as it screwed up the cake. Like, there would be a line straight down the middle of the cake, and there'd be a Transformer on one side and, you know, Darkwing Duck on the other side.
Led to
some interesting conversations.
Right on. Also, from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, we have our lovely news editor, Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing great. I really missed you guys. Glad to have you back.
Missed you too, Carrie. And we got all sorts of people coming into the studio here. Sam and Bradley are in here as well. We'll talk to them in hour two. Before we get to all that, though, the first hour of the show, we always start off with our cannabis chronicles, the latest news headlines. And since we've been gone for a few days, lots of news to catch up on. Carrie, what do you got in the news for us today?
That's right. Well, the big stories that came toward the last of the week, last week that we've got to cover, of course, Harborside is in the crosshairs, and Oregon makes an amazing move. Plus, I've got some wildlife news to tell you all coming up in today's Cannabis Chronicles.
All right, looking forward to it. Then when we get to 20 after, we take our 20 after break, like we should, and we enjoy Roots Monday Daily Toker Tune. And for today, we dig into the countryside of Roots music with our good friend Chief Greenbud. He's got some new music for us, and we're going to play that for you first, right here on National Cannabis Radio and the Russ Belville Show. You can get more of Chief Greenbud's fantastic cannabis-related music at Chief Greenbud. And then at half past, I'm going to take a look at the now three United States legalization initiatives that have made the ballot and compare and contrast some of the differences between them so that you can find out, you can be completely educated on what the people are voting on. If you happen to be in one of those states, or if you're in one of the other 47 states, you can see what we are possibly voting on and what the future may hold for your state. We are going to bring this wave of legalization from west to east. It's only a matter of time. The wall is starting to crumble. We are going to win this, people. And then at the end of the show, a little time for a radical rant. I'm going to talk about that story that Carrie brought up with Melinda Hogg, the U.S. attorney who has been threatening the Harborside Health Center, and give you a look at some of her amazing abilities. You won't believe what this woman can do. All that and more coming up on The Russ Belville Show. You can find us at RBShow420 on Twitter. Follow National Cannabis Radio at NCR420 on Twitter. I'm Radical Russ on Twitter, RadicalRuss.com for the blog, National Cannabis Radio, the site of the live show. Be right back after this. Stick around. There's plenty to come.
It's simply business. simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send 10 bucks to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical RUSS on the Russ Belville Show. Marijuana is not going to re-legalize itself. You've got to do your part. Join the National Cannabis Coalition today at nationalcannabiscoalition.com. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carey, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
Now the third state in the U.S. where voters will get to vote to legalize marijuana in the November elections. The Oregon Secretary of State has certified that the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, or OCTA, has enough signatures to make the ballot. It will appear as Measure 80 to the voters of Oregon. The Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, if passed, would regulate the sales of marijuana for those over 21 years old, and it would set up a distribution system where adults could buy cannabis for personal and private use only through state licensed stores. A whopping 90% of the tax revenue generated from the legal sales of cannabis would go directly into the state's general fund. That tax is estimated at more than $140 million annually. The measure, if passed, would also open the door for the Oregon hemp farmer, with 1% of those taxes going into a Kickstart program to promote Oregon-grown hemp as a food and fiber product, and 1% of that would be used to promote hemp as a biofuel. Much of that money would go into creating two separate state commissions that would oversee each. 1% of the taxes collected from the sales of legal marijuana would go into drug treatment programs, and then OCTA also calls for the creation of a cannabis commission that would oversee retail sales, marijuana cultivation, and have the power to limit the amount of marijuana a person could purchase. The cannabis commission would do work similar to the alcohol commission that oversees alcohol sales and regulations. Under their proposal, marijuana possession would be decriminalized, although public pot consumption would be prohibited and subject to a fine of $250. Now, there is an article written into the measure that would allow for bar-type establishments if marked with signs and if they exclude minors. Paul Stanford, the founder of the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation and the THCF clinics that are in several medical marijuana states, was the measure's chief petitioner. This was Stanford's latest of several attempts to get a legalization effort on the ballot, and it's the second time he has made it this far. Stanford said that he's been working towards this goal for the last 24 years. He turned in over 165,000 signatures to get the 87,213 that they needed. Stanford came up with 88,887 valid signatures, narrowly making that ballot with just 1,600 to spare. Public polls show that marijuana legalization has been gaining in popularity in Oregon and nationwide. Oregonians have a mail-in ballot system, so every voter is mailed a ballot. A larger turnout may bode well for those hoping to legalize cannabis. So we'll find out if Oregon citizens, along with Washington and Colorado citizens, have enough supporters to change cannabis laws forever come November 6th.
Wow, we couldn't be happier. This is such fantastic news. You worked so long and hard. I've been I've been doing this in Oregon. I've been part of legalization activism in Oregon since 2005. And you just work and work and work for a day like this. And it's just so, so liberating to feel that we finally got the chance to put this before the voters. The hard work is yet to come. We've still got to get the voters to pass it. But clearing that first hurdle. And look, my hat's off, literally, to Paul Stanford for his work in this. Absolutely. Because I'll tell you, having got, we got legalization on the ballot in the 80s. I think it was 86 with the Oregon Marijuana Initiative back then. And to continue to work these long decades through thick and thin, through newspapers attacking him, calling him King Bong, to the IRS going after him, to all of the fractiousness that happens in our medical marijuana community at times. It's just all these hurdles he's had to overcome and the slings and arrows that have come against him that it really shows how truly dedicated he is to this move.
And I just want to say he was nothing but a gentleman after I was a complete dick to him in public. So
yeah, it's amazing, you know. well put. He's been completely a gentleman and so narrow, you know, singularly focused on legalization. And Coleco, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this some sort of record as far as the least amount of money spent to get something on the ballot?
That's what I was hearing.
Coleco, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, less than like $400,000 or something like that. Super low amount.
Wow. And when you consider that every other legalization attempt that has made the ballot in any of the now six states that have put it on the ballot has always come through the support of the big three billionaires, Sperling, Lewis, and Soros, with the exception of Prop 19 in 2010, but that was $1.5 million of Richard Lee's money, his damn life savings to get it on the ballot. To think that Oregon can get it on the ballot for less than $500,000 shows you what a truly grassroots effort this is, and I am so proud to be an Oregonian right now. We are going to be putting 110% effort into getting legalization passed here in Oregon and in Washington and in Colorado, medical marijuana in Massachusetts, and again, bringing that wave westward and bringing freedom to all the people who deserve it.
Last week, the feds made their move on the largest medical marijuana dispensary left standing in California, Oakland's Harborside Health Center, that's run by Stephen D'Angelo and featured on the Discovery Channel's Weed Wars, was the target this time. The feds took a recent tactic that has helped them close more than 100 medical marijuana dispensaries in the state of California. They attacked the landlord of the two large buildings that house Harborside operations. On Tuesday last week, DEA agents taped a notice of property forfeiture on the doors of Harborside facilities in Oakland and also in San Jose. With a large group of supporters by his side, D'Angelo vowed during a press conference last Wednesday to remain open and continue their care of the estimated 108,000 patients that get their medical marijuana at Harborside Health. He pledged to, quote, never abandon our patients. The attorney for Harborside, Henry Walowski, said he is working with the property owners and they're still putting together a plan to proceed. The landlords are expected to reply to the federal action within 20 days, and a hearing has been set for October. Steve D'Angelo said that unless they physically prevent him from caring for his patients, he will keep working for them. City Councilwoman Rebecca Kaplan spoke out last Thursday at a news conference that was attended by dozens of Harborside patients that the city of Oakland cannot afford the money wasted on law enforcement, the loss of approximately 125 more jobs in Oakland, and the loss of tax revenues that Harborside Health Center pays them. Harborside paid $3.5 million in taxes just last year. Harborside has been operating since 2006 and is considered a model in the medical marijuana industry on how to set dispensary standards. D'Angelo has been working with Oakland officials to make sure he complies with state and local laws. He said together they have crafted one of the safest and most strictly self-regulated models in the industry. Melinda Hogg, the U.S. Attorney for Southern California, is leading this charge to seize the properties occupied by Harborside. She's alleging that they are violating federal laws by selling marijuana. She also says that going after the dispensary giant is justified since the sheer size of the marijuana superstore is increasing the likelihood that they are also violating state laws.
Yeah. I've got plenty to say about that. I'm going to save it for the radical rant. But before we do, I did want to play this video, a little clip from the press conference that took place. What was it, Coleco, Friday that they had this press conference?
I believe it was Friday.
Okay, this is going to, well, it's going to break your heart, but it gets right to the point of the matter involved here.
This is coming from a father that loves his son. I don't know how else to tell you this, but this is what saved my son's life. My son had a seizure every single day for the last 4.5 years of his life. The first time I ever gave him medical cannabis was the first time he ever went seizure-free in his life. Can you imagine your kids having seizures every single day, being in pain 12 to 14 hours a day, crying, screaming. My son's tried 12 different medications from around the world. Two that weren't FDA approved, and they didn't work. They just caused more problems. My son's taken 25,000 pills and he's 5 years old. That's ridiculous. Seeing my son suffer like this, not get to enjoy life. I've been to birthday parties, seeing my son not have fun while other kids are having fun. I'm running to the ambulance or calling 911, seeing my son suffer. Well, things have changed since I started using medical cannabis. I got him down from 22 pills a day down to 4 right now. He's functioning better. I have documentation. I have video evidence of him changing as a human being. His eye contact's getting better. I get emails from his teachers telling me how good he's doing and what they're seeing the difference, comprehending. I wish my son could say, I love you. That's my true goal. But right now I'm happy with him. When he looks in my eyes and I tell him, give me a kiss, he could give me a kiss now. Can you imagine your kid not giving you a kiss? I've been blessed. God's shown me the way. This is a plant. It even says in the Bible, and I am a Christian, Genesis 1:29 and 1:30, use my plant, use my seed. And it's been working fantastic for my son. It's changed his life. From being in an ambulance 45 times, he hasn't been in an ambulance since I started CBD. Last April and May, I was losing it myself. I didn't know how I could see my son suffer like that every day. Thank God. God gave me cannabis to help my son. Please, Miss Hattie, have some compassion. Don't let me lose my son. Please, Obama, Mitt Romney, whoever you guys are out there, we need your help. I love my son.
A sad consequence of illegal marijuana growing to report on today. The University of California veterinary scientists have discovered that it was rat poison that killed the dead Fisher cats near Redwood National Park and Yosemite National Park. The small mammal that is part of the weasel and wolverine family nearly became extinct in the 1930s, but efforts to reintroduce the species into the wild successfully brought them back from the brink, although they are currently a candidate for listing under the Federal Endangered Species Act. Researchers published their finding in the journal PLOS One. They believe that the illegal marijuana grows in the back forest are directly linked to the die-off from rat poisons that keep animals from eating the forest crops. The Fisher deaths that they found occurred during April and May, coinciding with the marijuana planting season. The crops in the remote areas of our national forests use pesticides and poisons to protect their large outdoor grows. Fishers are eating animals that have ingested that rat poison, or they are attracted to it and eating it directly. Manufacturers flavor the poison with bacon, cheese, and peanut butter flavors to entice rodents to eat it. The poison causes a terrible and slow death in the mammals. It causes uncontrollable bleeding. Scientists were first perplexed about the die-off, finding urban-type poisons in mammals that live deep in the woods and far away from any agricultural or urban areas. They made that connection when law enforcement removed more than 2,000 marijuana plants in a Fisher's habitat. Along with the dead Fishers, the researchers found large amounts of the rat poison that they use along irrigation lines. The researchers say they will now try to examine if the toxins used at marijuana sites are impacting other forest carnivores through prey depletion with the small animals at risk of poisoning.
Yeah, you know who's not poisoning small mammals in our national forests? Hops farmers, vintners, and tobacco plantations. Thanks, Carrie, for the news. I do want to give an update on a few stories that slipped by while I was out. Just came in just today that it was really good to see. And that's our friend Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana. Got a shout out on the Today Moms segment. This is NBC's Today Show Moms segment. The article's entitled Pot Smoking Moms Tired of Being Judged by Wine Drinkers. Also, Normal Women's Alliance's Diane Fornbacher is quoted in the piece as well. And it's just good to see more of these moms for marijuana types groups getting some attention here. And what's most wonderful here is in the poll, they have one of those online polls with 12,000 votes so far on the Today Show site asking, is it okay for moms to smoke pot? It's 84% in favor. So that's just remarkable to see that kind of number coming from a Today Show audience, especially Today Show audience. Well, maybe not surprising coming from the audience that's watching Hoda and Kathy Lee drink wine every morning. Yeah, no kidding. Although, I don't know, maybe that's not such a bad thing, drinking the wine every morning. Also, I want to make a note about the Pat Robertson billboard that has been put up at Amendment 64. They've been putting these up around Denver. The billboard says, Pat Robertson would vote yes on 64. Will you? This is a billboard that's gone up in Grand Junction, Colorado. We'll give you a look at that when we get into Hour 2, plus conversations with all the crew here. And Bradley Steinman and Sam Chapman are here as well, so we'll have plenty to talk about. But first...
It's 420 back in Idaho, where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our roots. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, have you ever met
when we come back, new music from Chief Greenbud. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show. Right back after this.
Man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. 17 states and the District of Columbia have legalized the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. Over 70% of the American public supports the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. What does Governor Mitt Romney think of medical marijuana?
So medical marijuana is legal in Colorado. One of our viewers, Bill Ferguson, asked, should marijuana be legalized for medical use?
Aren't there issues of significance that you'd like to talk about?
The medicinal use of marijuana is a significant issue to the millions suffering from cancer, AIDS, and other chronic pain, nausea, spasticity, and seizure disorders.
I think marijuana should not be legal in this country. I believe it's a gateway drug to other drug violations. The use of illegal drugs in this country is leading to terrible consequences in places like Mexico and actually in our own country.
Okay.
I oppose legalization of marijuana.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to this next one because my good friend Chief Greenbud's got a new album. It's Chief Greenbud 3, and you can learn more about it by going to chiefgreenbud.com. And if you haven't gotten the first two albums, then you're not truly a toker. You're not down. You're not cool unless you got the Chief Greenbud album. Go to chiefgreenbud.com and get them right now. It is great country kind of parody music about marijuana, plus some original tunes. Chief's a fantastic songwriter and a really excellent country singer. If you like country music, you're going to like Chief Greenbud. And if you like marijuana and country music, you're going to love Chief Greenbud. He's a big favorite here on the network. So without further ado, let's just get to it. This is a tune that that goes well for our campaign to legalize marijuana, to show that it is safer than alcohol and that isn't really a problem for legalization. It just reminds us that marijuana mellows you out. It's not that big a problem. And this is Chief Greenbud. As soon as I can get that to go there, Chief Greenbud. Okay, I have to find out why that's not playing. Sorry about this. We're doing it live. Something wrong with our audio links for a second here. And here we go. Come on, Chief Greenbud, play. I do not know why this will not play. So we are going to take a break and make that work. And when we come back, we'll have some Chief Greenbud for you.
Dear Dad, how should I say this? You know how you enjoy a drink after work? Well, in many ways, I'm just like you. I have a good job, I work hard. But when I get home, I prefer to relax with marijuana instead of alcohol. They're a little similar, but marijuana is actually less damaging to my health. And frankly, I don't feel like crap the next day. I hope this makes sense. But if not, let's talk.
Attention, National Cannabis Radio listeners. If you haven't heard the political pontifications of Lively and Mr. Libra on the Libra Lounge yet, be sure to visit here Wednesday nights at 6 Pacific or visit thelibralounge.com for archives and links to download current episodes. Be a lounger.
The Libra Lounge.
What in the hell? I know that's not Kenny Estes. Why are they messing with him again, man?
Police cars here on the scene where one of the raids took place earlier today. We're trying to find out exactly what Oakland police officers are doing here.
Leave
him
alone.
Federal authorities, as you mentioned, are being tight-lipped about what they were doing during several raids this morning.
He's in a wheelchair. He's in a motherfucking wheelchair, man.
Wow.
You believe this shit? You guys need to stop fucking with Ken, man. Scared my kids, why'd you have to kick? Full riot gear, the whole door in. Cut all my plants down, left the stem. If your parents were ill, would you do this to them? Would you take all the pain pills and turn them in? Confiscate their belongings and split them in the end. Vultures are tripping off cannabis. There's cocaine and ice cakes, go find them. You're wasting them federal funded dividends. If you touch one of us, then touch one of them. One day you might ask to be a friend, but I don't trust no one. Have no friends like Houdini. I'll disappear in the wind, roll away in my wheelchair. I'ma win in the end, and as long as there's seeds, I'm ahead of them. If nature cooperates, see you at Oktoberfest.
They file down the street with their semi-automatic weapons and full riot gear with a battering ram and went in the back door. While the propulsion was pulled up, looking across the street, saw the guns, got back in the car, and took off. The special agent in charge of the DEA's San Francisco field office revealed little about today's action.
Leave us alone, we're all medical patients. A prescription allows me to grow these babies. If that canine bites, hope he gives me rage so I can slap a lawsuit on the city, maybe. Or maybe not. I got my Glock, might think you're the intruder. Then pop, pop, pop. Dead DEA agents on the spot. Every time they make a bust, feels like crime rate drop. I don't think so, not even a little bit. Are you stressed out? Then hit it a little bit. Pure Kush, Northern California Bush. Got medical club cards, we don't push. Dispensaries throughout the state. What's the difference between trees and them pills you take? Advils, aspirins, and ibuprofens. And I've had no pay since I've been talking.
I'm not at liberty to say a lot about the investigation. Still don't understand. So all I can say is, you know, I mentioned go after the baddest people.
Ken Estes is apparently one of the biggest and baddest people. He says this property is where he used to grow medical marijuana plants for his Bay Area cannabis.
This is for my folks in that green triangle. Keep on growing at every angle. Glaucomas, cancer, and broken ankles. Migraines and major pains they can't handle. The best remedy simply grows on trees. 100% natural THC. Go ahead, take a puff now. Eat it in brownies. That's how we get down to Sonoma County. Mendo and lakes and surrounding boundaries. Get caught trespassing.
Libertarian or commie. A robe-wearing, bell-ringing Buddhist. A Muslim or a snake charming Swami. If you love Sarah Palin and Limbaugh, or voted for Barack Obama, we could all coexist. Maybe not get so pissed, or at least take a break from the drama. Marijuana mellows you out. Marijuana mellows you out. Just take a little puff and you'll be wondering what the fuss was about. Marijuana mellows you out. When people don't get along, why does it have to come to fighting? Politics, religion, crits, everybody's lying. We're all together on this ball of dirt in outer space. And I'm just trying to make this world a little better place. or fire up a joint. Maybe you'll see the point. At least you'll have a smile on your face. Yeah, marijuana mellows you out.
Marijuana mellows you out.
Marijuana mellows you out. Just take a little puff and you'll be wondering what the fuss was about. Marijuana mellows you out. If you've had the kind of day when everybody's on your case, the boss, the kids, the wife, even your dog's up in your face, the traffic jam's got you stuck like peanut butter, you can throw up your hands and go crying to your mother, or pull out a bong, start singing along. It's gonna be one way or the other. But marijuana mellows you out.
Makes you mellow.
Marijuana mellows you out. Just take a little puff and you'll be wondering what the fuss was about. There's no doubt that marijuana mellows you out. Said marijuana mellows you out.
Marijuana mellows you out.
Makes you
mellow.
Take a little puff and you'll be wondering what the fuss was about. Marijuana mellows you out.
Yeah.
Marijuana mellows you out.
I guess I should listen to the song.
Marijuana mellows you
That's
out.
That's Chief Greenbud from Chief Greenbud 3.
Marijuana mellows you out.
Check out chiefgreenbud.com for more from our good friend Chief Greenbud.
Marijuana re-legalization is not likely to happen first at the federal level. It's going to happen state by state. We turn now to our 50 state legislatures and assemblies for the Russ Belville Show's Legalization Legislation Update.
All right, welcome back, folks. And like I promised earlier, I wanted to talk about, once again, the fantastic news that we here in the Beaver State of Oregon will be voting on marijuana legalization this November. Not just that, voting it by mail. So that's awesome. We can just mail it in, man. We're going to legalize marijuana. We'll just send it in by the mail. So I'm really looking forward to this. And that means that Oregon now joins Colorado and Washington as three states that are voting on marijuana legalization. This is the first time this has ever happened. There have only been eight, count them, eight times since 1972 when the first California Prop 19 made the ballot. There's only been eight times that marijuana legalization has been up before the voters in just five states. I believe it's Nevada, Alaska, Oregon, California, and Colorado. So Washington just kind of joined that crowd today. Again, which brings up why these people that are against I-502, it's like your first ever chance to vote on legalization. And anyway, we'll get back to that in just a little bit. Also in making the ballot, you know, hats off to Paul Stanford, who may have made Oregon history with making the ballot with the least amount of funding, like less than $400,000 in collecting 168,000 signatures. They just cleared it by 1,600 or so. So, you know, squeaker, but man, we got it done and truly at a grassroots level. Now, in those 40 years, like I mentioned, only five states have had eight chances to vote on legalization, and they've all failed. They've all failed, with California's Prop 19 in 2010 coming closest with 46.5% of the vote. Oregon's last attempt, the Oregon Marijuana Initiative, came in at 24 or 26%, somewhere in that range. So we hope to certainly do much better than that. We got to double that. We're going to double that and pass legalization right here in the state of Oregon. And you can come visit. We'd love to see you here. You can come join, come out and check out our marijuana stores and what are sure to be burgeoning marijuana clubs. And plus, we have public beaches here, man. Can you just imagine the fun? Just heading out on the public beach, building yourself a campfire, sitting by the ocean and smoking a joint, not really having to worry too much about it. Man, that's what we are building here. The freedom is coming. But again, this is freedom that's a grassroots effort here in Oregon. All the prior initiatives that tried to make the ballot, it took billionaires. It took billionaires donating millions and millions of dollars. Three guys, Peter Lewis from Progressive Insurance, John Sperling, and George Soros. Those are the three guys that have funded every legalization that's made the ballot, almost every medical marijuana that's made the ballot, except again for Prop 19 in 2010, which was, you know, Richard Lee's $1.5 million. Now, the Oregon legalization measure will allow all adults 21 and over to be able to have personal marijuana possession and cultivation without license or fee. If you're 21, you can have personal marijuana possession. You can cultivate your own personal plants. The state will also license commercial production of marijuana and sales through stores and regulate. These will be Oregon cannabis stores, and that's all they'll be. They'll just be cannabis stores, like a liquor store, right? And regulate them through the new Oregon Cannabis Commission. And tax revenues and fees are earmarked for drug education and rehabilitation. And maybe best of all, industrial hemp, the drug-free genetic cousin of cannabis, will be treated like any other industrial crops. Now, this is fantastic news. We are all excited about the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, and I thought I would take some time here on the Russ Belville Show to give you some compare and contrast, because now we've got three different looks at legalization, three different states that are competing on this, well, not competing, but all working to bring freedom to their citizens. Let's go through these different initiatives, and you can also follow along at the Russ Belville Show blog at RadicalRuss.com if you want more information on these. We've got the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, which is now called Measure 80, I believe. And then Colorado's got Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol, it's Amendment 64. And Washington has New Approach Washington, which is Initiative 502, I-502. Now, when it comes to personal possession, here's one place where I believe OCTA is leaps and bounds ahead of the other two in terms of freedom. Okay, the least amount allowed is the Colorado initiative. It's got 1 ounce in public. Okay, now that's an important caveat here. They say you can have 1 ounce on your person in public, right? Not showing it around or anything, but, you know, in your pocket, in your glove compartment, whatever. But when you grow your own plants in Colorado, and we'll get to that in the next step here, you can possess all of the cannabis produced from the harvest of the personal plants at the grow site. Now, this is something I brought up with Prop 19, too, and I kind of wanted to bring it up in a whisper because you don't want our opponents to know this, but what that means is when you harvest your plants and you got 18 ounces or whatever, you can save that. Then you harvest your next set, you got another 20 ounces, you harvest your next set, you got another 12 ounces, you harvest your next set, and so on and so on and so on. So legitimately here, if you think about it, there's really no upper bound to how much marijuana you could have at your home, because technically that could be the results of all your harvests. Shh. Now, in Washington, Washington also has a limit. Now, Washington is a little more strict about this. They have 1 ounce of cannabis. You can have 1 ounce of flower, right? 16 ounces of solid products. Now, as they've been selling this initiative, they've been saying 16 ounces of, you know, like brownies or, you know, cake or cookies or whatever, right? Medibles. But the way this is written, come closer. The way this is written, it would count hash and hash oil. Yes, 16 ounces of hash oil. And 72 ounces of liquid products, like tinctures, right? You can have 72 ounces of tinctures or lotions, for that matter. Another major difference with the... But what's Oregon's? Let's not forget. I said Oregon's was the best. Why is Oregon's the best? Because Oregon Cannabis Tax Act specifies that adults may have cannabis for personal use. It doesn't say how much. There is not a limit designated in the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act for how much is personal possession. Now, I imagine there will be rules promulgated. There will be maybe cases that set precedents that say, well, if you got 3 tons, obviously that's not for personal use. But the way it's written, we'll just have to see where that limit ends up. This also affects the personal cultivation part of it, being able to grow your own plants. In Washington, not allowed. No home grow. Not allowed to grow your own plants. So, of course, the Washington one would be the worst off in this category. In Colorado, they allow you 6 plants with 3 in flower. 6 that are mature would be allowed. So there's that part. And then the 6 plants, 3 in flower is also what Colorado began its medical program with. So it's not unheard of to have that kind of limit. It's something that they could be very, very used. And then in Oregon, there is, again, no limit. Personal cultivation is allowed, but there is no limit designated on how much can be personal cultivation. Now, all of them set an age limit at 21 years old. Got to be 21, so there's a tie there for all of them. For public consumption, again, I think the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act wins out of the three. Washington State, none. No public consumption. And I could not find in it, the way it was written, any sort of way around that as far as having licensed establishments or private places. It just seems like there's no public consumption. The Colorado one also says no open and public consumption. So I don't know how that would affect outdoor venues and such. The Oregon Cannabis Tax Act says none, no public consumption, except areas where there are not minors, where prominent signs allow it. Where prominent signs will allow the public consumption. So that says to me that we could have festivals and outdoor events where there would be prominent signage and minors not allowed. Or maybe even like we have beer gardens where they wrist tag people as they get in there. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, the most controversial aspect of any of these initiatives comes to the DUI standard. What will be set, if any, as a DUI standard? Of course, we've made a lot of talk here about the 5 nanogram per se DUID standard that's in the Washington initiative. This would say if they blood test you and you're over 5, you're guaranteed to be a stone driver. Even if you weren't impaired at the time, you're guaranteed a stone driver. And many patients are against that because they feel they'd always be above 5. Also, there's zero tolerance on that DUID under the age of 21. And these are definitely flaws in the Washington initiative. Whether that's flaw enough to vote against legalization, I don't think so. But I do agree with critics that say these are big flaws in the initiative. It's definitely unscientific, unnecessary, and unjust. Both Oregon's and Colorado's seem to keep the current law, and they specify in their initiatives that this is not meant to change any laws with respect to driving under the influence. So it says to me they would still go by their standard of demonstrated impairment. You failed the sobriety test or whatever. As far as a regulatory body, in Oregon, it's going to be a new Oregon Cannabis Commission, which initially be an appointed body of 7 members. But then in the future will be 5 members that are elected from registered growers and producers in the Oregon cannabis businesses, 5 from the cannabis business industry, and 2 appointed by the governor. So that's a very interesting regulatory body. The Colorado Department of Revenue would handle the Colorado legalization. And in Washington State, kind of interesting, they're turning it over to the Washington State Liquor Control Board, which has currently lost a lot of its impact in the state because of the recent initiative they had that ended the state-run liquor stores and allowed private liquor stores. It's changed what Liquor Control Board has done. I don't know if this is going to seriously increase the funding and the staffing for that Liquor Control Board. We'll have to see. The question of hash and hash oil often comes up in these legalization initiatives. And I am glad to say it seems to me in every respect, each of these initiatives protect hash concentrates and other sorts of oils. Oregon Cannabis Tax Act says cannabis means all parts, derivatives, or preparations of the cannabis plant. The Colorado one says marijuana means every compound, manufacture, salt, derivative, mixture, or preparation of the plant, or its seeds, or its resins, including concentrates. So the Colorado one seems the strongest, the most ironclad. It just actually puts the word concentrates in there. Washington says marijuana means every compound, manufacture, salt, derivative, mixture, or preparation of the plant, its seeds, or resin. So perhaps by including the word resin there also, Colorado and Washington may be a little stronger than Oregon's, but it seems clear to me that hash is okay under each one of these. Now, the question of industrial hemp is another one that comes up in the legalization. This is explicitly legalized in the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. It's legalized as any crop is, with no licenses, fees, or regulations, and all seeds and starts are considered hemp. Even marijuana seeds and starts, until they, I guess, get to flower, are considered hemp, which, again, opens up better protections for those that might have many plants and some of those plants just being seedlings. They define in the Colorado and the Washington is marijuana is defined as anything greater, or actually Colorado hemp is defined as less than 0.3% THC, and the department shall set some hemp regulations. And in Washington's, they define marijuana as greater than 0.3% THC, which by implication says that anything less is hemp. As far as commercial cultivation, in the state of Oregon, it's kind of based on individuals. Individuals may cultivate for sale to the Oregon Cannabis Commission. So any grower could cultivate marijuana for sale and sell it to the state of Oregon, the Cannabis Commission. In Colorado, they're going to have marijuana cultivation facilities. And this Colorado, you have to understand, already has a medical marijuana law that's very, nuts and bolts as far as cultivation, product manufacturing, retail. So it's in a lot of ways, Colorado's kind of paralleling what they've done with medical already. In Washington, a marijuana producer's license will be available so that producers can sell cannabis only to licensed processors. So there's the difference between Oregon and the Colorado-Washington models is Oregon's are all individuals that are selling to the state, whereas the other two are entities that sell to other entities along the chain from cultivation to processing to retail. So there's the difference there. I would say Oregon's is more built for the individual to sell to the state. Again, commercial processing, individuals can process cannabis into hash oil, medibles, tinctures, salves, and so forth to the state of Oregon, whereas the other two, you're selling to other entities, manufacturing facilities or retail marijuana stores. As far as one interesting caveat on the Washington ones, the Washington retail stores will only be able to sell marijuana. And the way I read that, it reads pretty strictly. I don't know if they'll be able to sell, they wouldn't be able to sell like an ashtray to go with it, you know, or a roach clip. I don't know. But it seemed more restrictive than the other two. Oregon's cannabis stores could be limited in the amount of cannabis you could buy and how often you could go buy cannabis. The OCC will have the power to regulate that. As far as the commercial zoning goes, the Washington one is pretty strict. They have to be farther than 1,000 feet from a school, playground, or any other location with minors. In the other two, in Oregon and Colorado, it's set by the department. The department can set regulations, which will probably have those 1,000 feet type of rules. In the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, there's no specific taxes specified, but the Oregon Cannabis Commission is directed to set taxes and rates so as to discourage black market diversion and so forth. So it has yet to be seen what the taxes will be. In Colorado, it's a 15% excise tax at the wholesale level. At the Washington one is the most severe tax, 25% tax at each stage of the level, from producer to processor to retailer to customer. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects the prices in Washington as compared to Oregon. As far as how these deal with medical marijuana, Oregon Cannabis Tax Act is great in that it allows the OCC stores, the state stores, to sell cannabis at cost to qualifying patients. So it helps patients by passing OCTA. They will get at-cost medicine. The Colorado one specifically specifies that it does not apply to medical marijuana. It will stay in its own current regulatory structure. And in Washington, the passage of I-502 would be such a boon to patients because it would improve their medical marijuana act. Right now in Washington, there is no registry and there is no protection from arrest. Right? There's just an affirmative defense. So patients can still be arrested and have to go through the trouble and trials of being arrested and having to go to get booked and bailed out and go to court and get a defense attorney and spend all that money. If I-502 passes, they will be protected from arrest for any amount less than an ounce or 16 ounces of medibles or 72 ounces of tinctures. So at least now patients will finally be protected from arrest in Washington State. As far as restrictions, of course, sales to minors or unlicensed sale is illegal in all three states. But in Oregon, if you sell to a minor or you sell as an unlicensed seller, you forfeit your right to buy, sell, or process cannabis. So you would lose, if you sold to someone and they were caught, you would lose your right to buy at the state store or even possess, right? So I don't know how they will track that, though. I would think they would have to make a massive database or put a mark on your driver's license or something, but we'll see how that comes out. In Colorado, localities can ban commercial cultivation, processing, and retail either through their city councils or assemblies or whatever, or by a ballot initiative of the people in even-numbered years. So that gives the localities power to reject people's rights here in the case of Colorado. In Washington, a lot of restrictions here. They can set the maximum number of retail stores per county, like how many you can have per county, and you can't advertise. You can't have any clear advertising on your storefront, any sign of marijuana whatsoever. All you get is one sign, no more than 1,600 square inches, black and white, merely containing the name that you've registered the business under in the state of Washington. That's it. So, yeah, they really want to keep this away from the kids, I guess. Oh, and of course, no advertising near children whatsoever.
And you remember the movie Repo Man with the boxes that just said food on them?
Yes.
We're just going to get boxes that say weed.
Weed. That's right. And finally, the fee distribution, how the money will be spent that's raised from these acts. In the case of Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, after paying for the costs of the Cannabis Commission and specifically earmarking that the Attorney General has to defend this act and earmarks money for him to be able to afford to do so. He or she, it's a she now. 90% of the rest of the money goes to the general fund, 7% to drug abuse treatment, 1% for hemp promotion, 1% for hemp biodiesel, and 1% to school drug education. In the case of Colorado, the first $40 million goes to the Public School Capital Construction Assistance Fund, and then the rest goes to the general fund. In the case of Washington, it goes to a dedicated marijuana fund run by the State Liquor Control Board, $125,000 to the Healthy Youth Survey, $50,000 to Social and Health Reports, $5,000 to UW for web-based marijuana education, $1.5 million to the State Liquor Control Board. Worked out pretty good for them. And then for the remainder, 15% to drug treatment, 10% to drug education, 1% to the state universities to research marijuana, 50% to the Washington Health Plan, 5% to community health care, and 0.03% to the Building Bridges Program, and everything else that's left over goes to the general fund. That's the complete rundown that I have for the three different initiatives that are competing working to win your vote in the different states this year for marijuana legalization. You can get this whole printout by going to the Radical Russ blog at radicalrust.com. Look for Oregon Cannabis Tax Act qualifies for November ballot. When we come back, a couple words about Melinda Hogg and Harborside Health Center. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Who would you rather your kids talk to about drugs? You? Or some guy? When your kids find out you've been lying to them about marijuana, who will they trust? Let's have a rational discussion about drug reform. Let's tax and regulate marijuana, restrict youth access, and create safer communities.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, I got to talk to you about U.S. Attorney Melinda Hogg. And let me preface this. Imagine a world without murder. 6 years ago, the homicide rates had reached epidemic proportions. It seemed that only a miracle could stop the bloodshed. But instead of one miracle, we were given three. The precognitives. Within 3 months of the pre-crime program, the homicide rates in the District of Columbia had reduced 90%. That's from the Philip K. Dick short story and 2002 sci-fi movie Minority Report. And in this story, this sci-fi fantasy, there exist precognitives who have the extrasensory power to predict murders before they happen. Tom Cruise stars as John Anderton, the chief of the pre-crime unit, the law enforcement division tasked with arresting the soon-to-be murderers before they commit their crimes. Well, it seems that we have our own real-life precognitive law enforcement in U.S. Attorney Melinda J. Hogg. She's able to predict violations of California's medical marijuana law before they happen. Now, recently, Hogg had filed a notice of civil asset forfeiture against Harborside Health Center, the Oakland dispensary that's billed as the world's largest, and whose owner, Steve D'Angelo, recently starred in the short-lived reality show Weed Wars. And if you think about it, civil asset forfeiture is already a form of pre-crime in itself, that it assumes that a piece of property is guilty of being ill-gotten gains from a criminal activity until proven innocent, and the owner of the property need not even be charged with the crime that allegedly earned him the property. Why, talk about your pre-crime. And Harborside's already fending off the IRS over those 280E charges where it can't deduct the standard costs of doing business. This is a tax code that was written for the cocaine kingpins of the 1980s, not state-sanctioned purveyors of medicine. So in explaining why Hogg now is going after Harborside Health Center, this new front in the federal battle to trample California's state rights, she revealed her precognitive abilities. This is from Melinda Hogg. I now find the need to consider actions regarding marijuana superstores such as Harborside. The larger the operation, the greater the likelihood that there will be abuse of the state's medical marijuana laws and marijuana in the hands of individuals who do not have a demonstrated medical need. Well, you know what? I'm actually kind of excited about this new precedent. I eagerly await the U.S. Department of Justice activities against super banks like Bank of America, super energy like British Petroleum, and supermarkets like Walmart. I mean, these operations are so large that the likelihood must be approaching 100% that they've abused financial and environmental and trade laws and probably put corrupt power in the hands of CEOs who do not have a demonstrated shred of ethics. And thank you, San Ho Tree, for that idea there. Snark aside, Hogg's hypothesis is completely backwards. The large operations like Harborside and Berkeley Patients Groups are the ones that are least likely to be violating California law and putting marijuana in the hands of those without recommendations. They're the ones that have the security cameras and the standard operating procedures and the strict inspection of medicine and the reputable American suppliers. They're the ones working openly with their state and local authorities. And obviously here face the greatest federal scrutiny. I mean, by definition, the ones more likely to be putting marijuana in the hands of those without medical need are the thousands of marijuana dealers who don't bother to open dispensaries and check recommendations. Now, if that doesn't convince you of Melinda Hogg's pre-crime, precognitive abilities, check out this quote from her interview with KQED back in March. This is when she was defending shutting down the Berkeley Patients Group. She said this, quote, marijuana dispensaries are full of cash, and they're full of marijuana, and everybody knows that. And many of them are very public about their operations. Any given dispensary may not have been robbed to date, but they very well could be robbed in the near future, and there very well could be violence associated with that. Yeah, that a dispensary could be robbed is Hogg's excuse, for closing the Berkeley Patients Group. Since it was too close to a school, the children could be endangered. Oh. Once again, her precognitive abilities allow her to shut down dispensaries, even if there never has been a demonstrated danger to the community in 14 or some odd years, because in the future there very well could be. Gosh, you know, if only would have had Melinda Hogg on the pre-crime beat before the 1997 North Hollywood bank robbery shootout, she could have shut down that Bank of America branch before those two body-armored robbers endangered 300 police officers by firing 1,100 rounds of automatic fire on Laurel Canyon Boulevard. And wait a minute, come to think of it, shouldn't all banks be shut down? Since they are full of cash, very public about their operations, and they could very well be violently robbed in the future. Hogg has repeatedly said she's targeting medical marijuana operations that are within 1,000 feet of schools because she has limited resources and must think first of the children. Yet, for all her precognitive abilities, she cannot predict what her own office will do if medical marijuana operations seek locations farther than 1,000 feet from the children. This is more from her KQED interview. She says, I cannot promise that we will not bring actions against dispensaries that are not close to schools and parks and playgrounds, but for some other reason, we felt it was appropriate to expand our look. So I don't want to send the message to people that if you're more than 1,000 feet from a school, you'll be not targeted. I don't want to send the message that you will never be criminally prosecuted. I don't know that. So to recap, if you're a big dispensary, Melinda Hogg can predict California's medical marijuana law will be broken and you'll be shut down. If you're a dispensary near a school, Melinda Hogg can predict you will be violently robbed and she will shut you down. But if you're any other sort of dispensary, Melinda Hogg can't predict that you won't be shut down. Hey, you know, final thought. Is Melinda Hogg the only United States federal official who has the jurisdiction and standing to interpret and evaluate state laws? Because I kind of thought that was a state attorney general and Supreme Court thing. Melinda Hogg.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
All right, stick around for hour two. Coming up next, for Ganja John, Wiz Kaliko, Cannabis Carry, Brian the Red, and I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokens.